welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely blessed day today. Hope you guys are having an awesome day today. It's a great day down here in Florida. It's probably going to rain this afternoon. It'll cool it down, but beautiful as always. And been looking at some stuff and watching what's going on in Atlanta. I've had numerous reports, and multiple people have reported on it now, including Seth Weathers and Rob O'Donnell, that Atlanta Police Department officers in the Zone 4, Zone 3, and Zone 6, which is a higher crime area of Atlanta, have now basically walked off the job. Basically, just not, they're not showing up to their shift. And part of them, almost half of the entire shift of Zone 3 has walked off. It's primarily in protest the incident of the officer being charged with murder for shooting the guy that basically stole his taser. And, you know, I've watched the video, and I'm not going to give a whole lot of my opinion on it, just kind of bring up the facts. This is what they are trying to promote and what the agenda is trying to promote. I don't know if that officer needs to be honestly charged with murder. I don't know what the whole situation, the video was a little shaky in that. I do know that if you're in a situation where you're trying to arrest somebody and they're fighting aggressively, then they steal one of your weapons and then are basically running around trying to shoot you with it and you're chasing them. The whole thing was a giant fiasco. I mean, it's just a fiasco. The problem with a taser is, a lot of people don't realize this, is a taser can be very easily used as a deadly weapon. I've messed around with them before. They're very, very painful, and if you're not careful and you shoot somebody in the face, I mean, you could straight take somebody's eyes out with them instantaneously, much less shoot them and hold the trigger down too long and electrocute them to death. They're very, very dangerous. Tasers are not a joke, and they're basically the step right below using a handgun on somebody. So I don't know. We'll see how this plays out, but what we do see now is that if you live in Atlanta, especially if you're in more of a, you know, area that has a little bit higher crime and you're listening to the show, I highly encourage you to use precautionary measures right now. The aspect of this many law enforcement officers in multiple zones in Atlanta stepping down, protesting, walking off the job, however they're going to handle this right now, there's a high probability that it's about to get very, very violent in Atlanta in some areas. So I encourage you, stay prepared. If you have an area outside of the town and you can go there, that may be an option that you may want to look into. I'm not telling you what to do, but from everything I've been getting and the reports I've been getting out of the areas and people that are up there, you know, if this thing escalates much further and this many police continue to walk off the job and there's zero law and order in the city, it's going to get very, very ugly very, very fast, because Atlanta has a significant amount of crime in it. And because, I mean, it's a major city, it's just where it is. And now you have all these officers leaving. It's going to leave a giant vacuum of lawlessness that is going to encompass certain areas. So just my two cents on that. Thought I would throw that in there this morning, Dad. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm blessed, buddy. This is a day the Lord hath made. The thing that's interesting with Atlanta, the police commissioner said they have more than enough officers to cover the people that aren't showing up. But you're right. Hundreds of officers are calling in sick or not showing up because of the protest, because of the Rashard Brooks shooting. And now, let me just like you said, it's a quandary. You got an officer who basically has a guy who he's trying to arrest, who was sleeping in a car. He wasn't doing anything violent, taking a nap in a drive-in window at a Wendy's. You know, but they could still drive around. I mean, by the time the officer got there, the man had already moved the vehicle. He wasn't driving the car. He was basically in the car sleeping. I guess he should have been in the back seat. I don't know. Maybe he should have been sitting on the trunk or sitting on the windshield. I don't know what he should have been doing. But the cop shows up and feels as though they need to do a field sobriety test on him. Then they decide they're going to arrest him. And the guy doesn't want to be arrested. And so he basically fights off the two officers, probably pretty, he actually looks pretty tall. He's like about 6'4", 6'5". And he fights off the two officers and runs away. And in the process of running away, he makes a really horrible mistake, and he grabs a weapon and he runs off with it. And then the picture that I see doesn't necessarily show that he's actually aiming the taser at anybody. I mean, here's the problem with the taser, because it has wires on it. If you're fleeing at a high rate of speed and you try to shoot a taser, you're not going to be very accurate, number one. And number two, you're going to have to stop running, which means, because you have to squeeze the trigger, otherwise the wires are going to pull loose, because it doesn't have, you know, it's only like 30, 40 feet of wires to it. So you know, he was probably 30, 40 feet away. So the probability is he wasn't going to hurt the officer with the taser. But, like Austin said, he could have put out the eyes. He could have done something like that. So this is a real gray area. And the problem that happens, guys, is that when these things go down like this, they happen really, really fast. We all get to sit back now, you know, a week later, we get to go, oh, wow, I wouldn't have done it this way, and I wouldn't have done it that way, and perhaps he should have done it this way. Well, he's in the middle of a fight. He's in the middle of an abduction, trying to abduct somebody or take somebody down or to arrest somebody, whatever you want to call it. And what ends up happening is the guy decides he's going to run away. Well, the problem with all of this is, did the officer instantaneously think that maybe it was another weapon, maybe it wasn't a taser? I don't know. Did he even realize the taser was missing? I don't know. Does he really feel that he's in fear for his life? I don't know. Did he think it wasn't a taser and it was a gun? Because those tasers look a lot like guns. And, you know, and so it's one of those things that, you know, when you get trained to respond and to react, you don't have time to think. I remember years ago, we had been basically just harassed repeatedly by a neighbor's Doberman Pinscher that had been attack trained. And I told the story before, so I'm not going to go into detail with it. It ended up basically this animal attacking two people, putting one of them in the hospital, and then coming to my yard and attacking one of my groundskeepers, one of the guys who worked for me part-time to help maintain the property, you know, just cutting bushes, that kind of stuff. And I walked outside in my boxer shorts right out of bed, and I had a 9mm Glock on with me because I needed to make sure this dog wasn't going to kill somebody. And come to find out, the owner had left the house that morning. It had not informed anybody in the neighborhood that the dog had gotten loose. The guy's an idiot. Okay, he should have knocked on all the doors. Hey, my dog's loose. I can't find him. Keep the kids inside. And then the guy was a dentist, and he didn't even bother to call in the dental practice to reschedule stuff. He just left and went to work. I guess the money was more important to him, I guess. I don't know. And so what ended up happening is this dog is in my backyard. I walk out there with a 9mm, and I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm not sure if the dog's even in my yard. So I made sure that my gun was hot. I made sure the bullets were okay. They hadn't gotten too humid or whatever. And I discharged around into the ground. Here comes this dog. And, guys, it wasn't like I had 3 or 4 minutes to think about this. By the time I got out of bed, walked outside, was like 15, 20 seconds, went to the back door, another 2 or 3 seconds, discharged the weapon, and within 2 seconds, 1 second after I discharged the weapon, the dog who was hiding in the backyard charged me at full speed at around 30, 35 miles an hour, and he had to cover like 150 feet, which means that it was like 1 or 2 seconds is all I had. I didn't get to sit there and think about it. I couldn't get back inside. I knew that because I couldn't move that fast. I was going to get chewed up. The dog already put two people, one person in the hospital, bit two people. So I had literally milliseconds to think. Now, what's really weird about being in that situation for me at that time, things slowed down a little bit. It was really weird, kind of like in a movie. And I remember I raised the weapon. I saw the dog coming at me. This is all within like 2 seconds. I raised the weapon. Dog's coming at me full speed. And I thought myself, there's going to be hell to pay when I shoot this dog. Forget my vernacular. I should have said HE66, but that's what I thought. Because I knew the neighbor was going to just raise holy Cain that I killed this animal, that I had warned him repeatedly, had already come after my wife once. And I had warned him that if he came in my yard again, I was going to shoot him. That I didn't want this dog terrorizing the neighborhood like some kind of doggone, you know, leprechaun from hell, right? And so I double-tapped him. He's running at me full speed. I double-tapped him. He slid about 20 feet away from me, stopped, hit him twice, shot him twice. And it was horrible. It's not what you think it is. The animal doesn't just die. It's screaming and howling and carrying on. Not screaming, but howling and just, I mean, noises coming out of it because, you know, I did a lung shot on it. Wasn't dead. Then I went inside and called 911. The reason I didn't shoot the animal again is I didn't want to execute his dog, and I'd rather have the police involved and animal control involved. And, you know, it all happens so stinking fast. See, this is why. When you carry a weapon with you, now listen to me for a second. I'm going to preach for just a second a little bit about this. I'm going to be a little bit preachy about this. You've got to understand that you're carrying deadly force with you. You can't be brandishing the weapon. You can't be flailing it around. You can't be discharging rounds unless you really feel like your life's in danger. You just got to play it cool. You know, you don't need to go try to provoke something to try to create an issue where you get to shoot somebody. It's easy enough to do that. if you try. But I'm telling you, the guys, if you shoot somebody in self-defense, look at this guy over there in New Mexico the other day. He walked up into the crowd. They were all unbelievably hot. He started yelling at him about taking down the statue. They told him that he needed to leave. He told him he's going to leave. They said they're going to kill him. They chased him down the road. Okay? They chased him down the road. They started beating him with a skateboard, had him on the ground. He just charged and shot several people. Okay? Wouldn't it have been easier had he stood in the perimeter and just watched to make sure that his house wasn't going to be vandalized, that his neighborhood wasn't going to be vandalized, or that his group wasn't going to be attacked, instead of going into the crowd as a provocateur? Now, this guy is probably going to get tried. In fact, they've arrested him. I don't know what they're going to do with him. But, you know, I think it was clear self-defense. But I promise you, his life from this point forward will never be the same. Look at George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. You discharge your weapon as a civilian, it's going to change. Everything's going to change. Your whole life's going to change. Unless probably you live in Polk County where I live, where the sheriff just told us to shoot people back out of our house if they tried to break in. But that's, again, it's still going to change your life depending on what happens and how much publicity this stuff gets. Be very careful. And I'm not saying don't defend yourself. I'm not saying that. But you don't need to be a provocateur. Now, you can be vocal, but you don't need to be getting in the middle of these people and just talking smack to them, because somebody in there is going to be a big old redneck, and they're going to have a pistol with them or a gun with them or a set of brass knuckles with them or a doggone skateboard in this case. Something's going to happen. You're going to create something that you don't want to be involved in very, very quickly. And this is how civil wars start. This is how one group goes after another war. This is what happened in Concord. This is what happens everywhere. You get provocateurs in the crowd saying stuff and doing stuff, and also people start shooting each other. And it happens so fast. Again, Rashard Brooks is dead. This officer's been charged with felony murder. He actually has a chance of getting the death penalty, which I don't think will ever happen. But the reality is this. If he goes to jail, it's like getting the death penalty. He's a police officer going to jail for killing a black guy who was running away. What do you think the life expectancy of that police officer is going to be unless he goes into a minimum security facility? He's literally going to be dead unless he goes into solitary confinement. He's going to be dead within a week. So all of these things are playing with the minds now of the police officers and the sheriffs in all of our counties and all of our states all over the country. And this is exactly what they're trying to do with these communist infiltrators. And the communists, you know, they use these different people. They call them fools. They call them useful fools, useful idiots, I think is what Stalin or Lenin said. These people are useful idiots. They do what they're told to do, and they create all of these problems. And then in the end, once the power is changed and the people become communists and the communists take over, what happens? They go in and they collect all these useful idiots, and they kill them or round them up and put them in concentration camps. Happens all the time. In Germany, this is exactly what happened with the Weimar Republic. It happened at the end of World War I. Germany was being blockaded at all its ports during the war. German people were starving to death. Finally, the Kaiser Wilhelm abdicated the throne. The Weimar Republic started in, and they basically decided to go ahead and declare an armistice with the Allies, and the war just stopped. Germany never lost World War I. That's the newsflash that people don't get. It just stopped. They got tired of killing hundreds of thousands of people, probably even the millions. Got tired of it. Got tired of starving to death. And it was that revolution in Russia that moved then into Germany as far as the bourgeois. The bourgeois and the middle class, the people that were basically the capitalists, the people that wanted to continue to go the way that it was going, they were being basically flogged and killed and shot by the peasants who were the communists, who were the communist infiltrators into Germany. If you read the book Mein Kampf, good luck, I've never been able to get through it, almost the entire book that Hitler wrote while he was locked up from 1923 to 1927 or however long he was in jail, basically talked about the communist infiltration into Germany and the communist party coming into Germany. Now, nobody wants to talk about that with Mein Kampf. Now, Mein Kampf is a rambling nightmare book. I mean, it's awful. I've tried to read it. I couldn't get through it. Because I thought, what in the world did he have to say? Well, he didn't. It was just disorienting. It could have been because it was translated from German into English. I don't know, but what I read was awful. Couldn't get through it. But the point is, this lays the seed for fascism in Germany in 1933. After the stock market crashed in 1929, Germany went right back into the same mess it was in 1920, 21, 22. It was a disaster in Germany, and everything was then being blamed on the international bankers, on the communists, and quite frankly, most of it was the international bankers. They did the same thing to us in the United States. Let us not forget, it was the international banking community that contracted the M1 money supply globally in 1929, which caused worldwide collapse. Kind of like we're having right now. So this is what happened. And these international bankers have done this so many times with so many different civilizations. Now, a lot of people say it was the international banking community that allowed Hitler to come to power to push the persecution of the Jews so that they would go back to Palestine and Israel could be reformed to rebuild the third temple to allow the Antichrist to appear. I believe that was probably a subplot in all of this stuff. So all of this stuff is just being controlled and manipulated by the high-level Masonic orders. The Druid Council of 13, which is basically the satanic group that runs the planet, you got the popes and all the other people, the little subparticles people that do it, and then you got the wizards and the warlocks that are all part of the Druid things, and they do all the human sacrifice, and they stay in contact with these other entities, these demons, I guess you'd call them. I mean, all of this stuff is happening all around us right now to bring in a new world order. And the sad part about it is that we, the people of the United States, are sitting back, and we're not saying much. Now, this morning, I watched a David Wilkerson video talking about what's happened in our churches, and I watched it. It was very, very good. I've got it posted online. It says, "Get ready for the end of all things," a much watch sermon. I watched it, and it was really good because he started talking about the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it churches, how these churches that come into a community, they canvass the community. In other words, they go door to door with surveys, and they ask the people, what is it about going to church that made you stop? Why are you stopped going to church? Why do you not go to church? If you do go to church, why do you go? And they'd go in and they developed a formula that would allow them to go build a mega church in any city, because they would take anything that offended the people in that area out of the sermons. In other words, I'm not going to talk to you about homosexuality at all. In fact, I'm not even going to bring up the topic, says the pastor in an interview, not being related to the congregation. I'm not going to talk to you about sexual immorality. I'm not going to talk to you about sodomy. I'm not going to talk to you about pedophilia. I'm not going to talk to you about anything that offends you, because I don't want to have you leave the church as a giving unit. I want you to bring in as many weirdos and transgenders and transvestites and trans whatever you want to call them, and as many people into the church as you possibly can, and we're never going to make them feel uncomfortable. I was speaking at one of these churches years ago, and I mentioned the homosexual problem. Oh my gosh, last time I was ever invited to speak there, the pastor almost went nuts on the front row waving at me, telling me to stop. And I thought, what the heck? Why am I being told to stop not talking about gays? Is that not an issue? Does the Bible not deal with this directly? Does that Bible say don't do it? Does it not say in Leviticus and Deuteronomy that these people are being stoned to death? Now I realize that we're in the New Testament now, and we're walking under grace. You can't go out and stone people to death. I got that, okay? But the Bible is very clear about how God feels about this stuff. And it says in the New Testament that the people that practice this kind of stuff cannot enter the kingdom of God. So why are they being told in the church that they're saved living in that lifestyle? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. Now, should we be kind to the person who's gay? Yes. Should we talk to them about Jesus? Yes. Should we tell them, do you really think that this lifestyle is going to be beneficial for you? Yes. Should we condemn them? The Word of God does that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to get up in their face, start pointing your finger at them, and start screaming, you're going to hell! You're going to hell in a handbasket! You're in a grease track to hell! That doesn't work either, okay? That just makes them mad. It makes them want to protest against every Christian person out there. But what we've done here is we've compromised the church by not telling the truth. And Paul warns us about this in the New Testament. He says, we're preaching a gospel, or you're going to be preaching a gospel, that is not the gospel that I've preached. And this is the problem we have in the churches with these name it, claim it, blab it, grab it guys that have these formulas to go in and start this big church. You know, they paint everything black, which I don't really understand that. They basically take the cross down. Yeah, there you go. Take the cross down. You won't find crosses in these churches. They basically start preaching these feel-good messages like Joel Osteen does, and they never talk about repentance or forgiveness or walking in love or whatever. They don't want to talk about that as far as what's going on, as far as what the New Testament says. They don't do that. They just talk about, just accept everybody for who they are. And then so the problem becomes the people who get converted in these churches don't understand what the real gospel even means. And so they don't have any power. And so then when somebody comes up to them and says, hey, let's smoke a joint. Okay. You want to go to the swingers club? Okay. You want to go do this? Yeah, sure, that's fine. Hey, let's try this heroin. Yeah, I'll try that. And you say, what the heck? Why would that happen? Well, because they don't understand. Those things aren't okay.
They don't get that. They're not. They haven't been told or instructed by their pastor that that behavioral pattern's not okay. And then we get into this. The churches that we had in my lifetime, when I was a child, they were all based on nationalism. Now listen to me for a second. This is what's happened. We were nationalistic. It was baseball, apple pie, hot dogs, Chevrolet. That was it, with the church on Sunday morning. That's what it was. It was nationalistic. But when the Frankfurt School came in and they taught us about the perversions with Gloria Steinem and Hugh Hefner and all the other filth that we've all been exposed to, it started changing the nationalistic fervor that we had, particularly in the 50s and the 60s, because we started thinking, oh my gosh, this country's got so many problems, and so we're gonna do this. The entire civil rights movement was communist. It was. Now, I'm not saying that the blacks didn't have the equal rights that we have with white people, and they shouldn't have those, because they should. But the entire thing with Martin Luther King was a complete and total communist. That's what he was. And to say anything else about Martin Luther King is basically painting a halo over his head that he does not deserve. And this is what we have to understand, is that we have been subjected to this doctrine now, this teaching of communism, this teaching of all of this stuff for 70, 80 years now, and that has undermined the churches. That's what's happened. And the churches now have become more and more and more compromised, and more people, as we left nationalism, left the churches. I'll repeat that. More people have left the churches as the United States drifted away from nationalism. That's what happened. And now we have these people that are 40, 50, 60 like me or whatever, and they're still the ones supporting the churches, because they were the ones who basically supported the churches in the beginning. The churches, on the other hand, the new ones that are growing, don't care about nationalism. They don't care about the Word of God. So there has to be some type of balance for the old churches to have decent praise and worship music in them, decent sermons, but still tell the truth. That balance isn't there. It's either the old school stuff that you go to sleep in, basically you're sitting in church and you take a nap, or the new stuff that basically doesn't even talk about Christ crucified or the blood of Jesus or the cross. That's what's happening. We've left nationalism, and with the loss of nationalism, we lost our faith, and with the loss of our faith, we've lost our moral compass, and with the loss of our moral compass, what's happened is we've had to increase the police presence to the point of being militarized to try to control the masses who no longer have a moral compass that drives them. This is what's going on in the United States right now, and this is the problem that we have, is the churches have stopped preaching the truth about Jesus Christ and who he was in Christ crucified, and repentance and living a godly life. Now, they could do all of that and maintain the proper worship and praise, but they need to put the cross back up. They need to talk about the blood of Jesus, and they need to tell these preachers to get with the real world and start talking about these other issues. And people will come back to the church. They will. But then, of course, with the 501(c) corporations that happened in the 50s with Johnson, they've decided you can't mix politics and church together, or else you'll lose your 501(c) status. So they've controlled us that way too. And so this is where we are right now. The preachers in the pulpit have stopped preaching the truth. And they've turned these churches into corporations. And the pastor becomes the CEO. And they have the director and the CFO and the CEO and the financial guys and all the stuff. They turn it into a giant business enterprise in which they can bring in millions of dollars a year and have this incredible lifestyle because of donations, not have to pay any taxes on all the stuff they bring in. And there's so many charlatans have gotten into it now, because they want to have that lifestyle with the fleets of private jets, multiple mansions. The one guy who owned that large ministry who died a few years ago, he had 25 mansions around the country and a fleet of private jets. It's not necessary for anybody. That's not teaching people about the message of Christ. And then you get these other clowns out there, all they want to do is preach prosperity, 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 and never talk about repentance. That's the guys that I've talked to you about so many times, say, give me money and you'll be blessed. So here we have or find ourselves. We have police now shooting people in the back who are running away from them because they may have a taser pointed at them, that are now being charged with felony murder. We've got riots and cities burning all over the United States. And we've got pastors who are refusing to address any of these issues. And when somebody says that they took a stand about something, many of them will get up on the platform and ask for forgiveness and say they're so sorry, they should have gotten into the political aspects of what's going on, not taking a stand against what's happening all over the world. And what we have here, basically, guys, is we've got a situation that's brewing around us right now that's getting worse and worse and worse.
And then there's an article out of the North Carolina Renegade. It says, this country is done. Prepare for the most brutal war this world has ever seen. Now, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if we're going to see that in our lifetime. But I do know one thing. The guys that are running this show right now, these communists, these Kabbalists, these Luciferians, the same guys who did it with Russia, they're playing for blood. And they're serious. Now they're saying that Donald Trump is self-sabotaging, that he doesn't even want to be president again. And quite frankly, he was the accidental president, like Robert David Steele said. He was. Hillary was supposed to win that. I've talked to you guys about that many times. And what ended up happening is he thought he could go in there and make changes. And he realized very, very quickly he wasn't in control. He can't get rid of Fauci. Where's the wall? Where's the wall? And you, and all you people that follow Q, come on, guys. Think through this. 175,000 indictments by when? November, before the election? Kind of getting close now, isn't it? You put a Democrat in there, won't be any doggone indictments or anything. Won't be any indictments with Trump. Trump doesn't have the legal ability to go in there and indict all those people. The judiciary is as compromised as a doggone Congress is. It's ridiculous what's happening in the United States government. It's completely and totally self-absorbed and compromised. That's enough. Austin, what do you think, bud?
Well, it was actually funny. I was talking to a buddy about that the other day, and he was kind of talking about the same thing with me. I was like, you know, I wonder if Trump even wants to get on this bandwagon for another 4 years. I mean, he is so eviscerated every single day in the media, and there is so much crap that's constantly thrown at him every single day. Quite frankly, if I was him, I would probably just be like, dude, I'm gonna bow out. I'm gonna act like I'm gonna run, or we're just gonna step out. I mean, I know that's negative, but you know, it reaches a point where it's like, if you can't do anything, and you can't control anything, and you can't fix anything, you're basically just sitting there doing what they tell you to do. I'd be pretty frustrated after a while, just being honest with you. But you're exactly right, Dad. One of the reasons that we've seen society start to decay like this is it's been planned with this generation. This everybody gets a participation trophy. Everybody gets to do whatever they want all the time with zero consequences in most cases. And that's what they've promoted. That's what they've pushed. That's what they've taught in the school systems for so long. I mean, in Portland, Oregon now another anarchist Antifa group has now blocked off like another two square blocks to try to set up another autonomous zone, like in Seattle, right outside the mayor's house, because their demands were not met. They said that the Portland City Council voted to cut $15 million from the Portland police budget, eliminating over 107 full-time positions, and they said that did not meet their demands enough, that they now have a new set of demands, and they're setting up an autonomous zone until their demands are met.
Unbelievable.
This is what happens when you deal with a young child that never has a spanking. I'm going to be honest with you guys right now. This is what happens when you deal with 4 and 5 and 6-year-olds, and they literally are allowed to do whatever they want. They grow up on YouTube. They grow up on video games. They grow up doing whatever they want in the school system, and the school system teaches them they can be and do anything they want without reason. And I don't mean as far as a career job. I'm not meaning that at all. What I'm meaning is, oh, you want to be a unicorn today? Okay, Philip, we'll call you by your unicorn name today. Okay, I want to be named Susie the Unicorn. Okay, that's what we'll call you today. That level of lunacy, when you start allowing young children to dictate that level of ignorance and personify it, and then you encourage it, you end up with a generation that you have right here, where they expect to be able to shut off city blocks. They're not thinking about the property taxes people pay to use the roadways. They're not thinking about the businesses that are now losing revenue because they're blocked off. They're not thinking about the public works and utilities and electric and everything else that people pay for to use those areas. They're not thinking about any of that. It's all about them, them, them. Me, 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 all the time. It doesn't matter what else is going on. It's about me not getting my way, and you haven't defunded the police enough, so we're going to try to block off blocks. This is exactly what the communist ideology has promoted for decades now in the school system. And quite frankly, guys, we've gotten what we've paid for. People refuse to homeschool their kids. They refuse to teach their kids at home the proper Christian way of life. They refuse to be parents. They've allowed the school systems to literally teach them almost everything they know now. And then when they come home, they sit in front of the television or video games like idiots till midnight. And we've gotten what we've paid for. This is exactly what we asked for, and now we've gotten it. And it's interesting what Dad was saying earlier as far as with you know, situation with that guy in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and the guy swinging the skateboard on him. And Dad's exactly right with that guy as far as the counter-protester that was armed, as far as what he was doing beforehand. You know, when a couple of my friends and I went down to downtown Auburndale because there was a big protest downtown a couple, what was it, 4 weeks ago now, you know, we allowed the protest to kind of occur about, say, 100 yards away from us in the park. Myself and most of my friends who were armed, we were up against the wall at the old building that was there in front of, you know, a friend of mine has a tanning salon there. She was basically out of town, so we kept an eye on it. There's another real estate office next door. And we basically stayed all the way up against the wall with our backs against the wall and sat there and monitored it and didn't really say a darn thing. And there were law enforcement in the street, and there were law enforcement on the side of the road monitoring it. So you had protesters in the park, then you had the street, then you had law enforcement on the street, and then you had us all the way to the back. We didn't get up there and start yelling at people. We didn't get up there and start shoving people. We didn't get in the middle of the group and start trying to scream in people's faces. Why? Because we're held to a higher level of accountability because we're carrying deadly force. I did not want to be in a situation where I get in a conflict, which I can guarantee you I could have gotten in a conflict very, very quickly if I wanted to in the middle of that protest, but that wasn't my place, nor technically really was that my right. They were peacefully protesting. Some of them were being slightly belligerent with some of their rhetoric, but quite frankly, that's not a crime. If you want to be belligerent and scream rhetoric, that's your constitutional right. I've told you guys that before. I'm very, very constitutional based with my ideology with people. And so, to me, going over there and getting in the middle of a conflict and possibly getting in a gunfight or shooting somebody over them protesting is not my place. Same thing if they're tearing down a monument. Well, you know, it's pretty disrespectful to tear down a monument. Now, is it on my property? No. Is it on city property? Yeah, well, technically that's city police or sheriff's department's job. If they fail to do their job, well, then, you know, unfortunately, as it is in the Constitution, you don't really have a right to go in and shoot somebody for tearing down a city statue. You really don't, guys. As much as it irks me, and it would make me absolutely irate to see a statue or a monument that I agreed with torn down, you do not have the constitutional basis to go engage somebody with deadly force because they're committing vandalism. It's just not there, especially when it's not on your property. So if you go to something like this, which I did, if you want to monitor it like you can, be very, very cautious on how you handle the situation and have multiple individuals that are concealed, in my opinion, and stay out of it. Unless they come at you and they start engaging you, then that's a whole different story. And the problem with it was that guy instigated a significant portion of that problem. And then while he was by himself with no other security force there, no other friends there to back him up, he tried to flee the scene after it escalated. And then after he shot the guy, then you basically had the armed militia patriots that showed up in full battle rattle, which that just instigates it even more. Because they're not even sitting there trying to be low-key. They're in full multicam plate carriers. And is that their right to do so in New Mexico? Yeah, you can open carry there. Does that de-escalate the situation? Absolutely not. And so you have to really look at it from that standpoint and use your brain before you get in that situation. I have been in numerous fights when I was younger, some of which were, you know, basically sanctioned when I used to compete, some of which were not. And it's exactly what Dad said. The situations happen so stinking fast, and it can just take a split quarter of a second between it being defensive, justified use of force to full-blown homicide. It's a split second, guys. It can change in a heartbeat. So understand that when you get in these situations, if you're going to these things, if you're going to monitor them, make sure you understand what you're doing, how you're presenting yourself, and what you're going to do. If you're standing back to an old historical building in front of private property with your back against the wall with multiple friends, and there's a group across the street that's going there and protesting, a, you know, protest in the middle, they now have to cross the street, engage law enforcement, and come at you while, I might add, you do not have the ability to flee because you are up against the wall. Now, at that point in time, justified force, if they come at you with a deadly weapon like a skateboard, is going to probably be warranted because you have no other place to go, and they are now coming after you offensively without any justification. But getting in the middle of these groups and screaming and yelling at them and pushing and shoving them, not only does it not prove any point whatsoever, you've brought no relevancy to the argument. You're just screaming. You're right on their level. And not only that, you make yourself and the whole entire Patriot movement look like a bunch of buttheads. I'm using very clear language with that. Because now you're carrying a firearm, you're claiming you're a Patriot, you're getting in the middle of the group screaming and shoving and pushing them, and when they get mad and lose their temper and come at you, you shoot them. You're giving them the ammunition, exactly what they want and the globalists want, to get the democratic communist liberals in office to go in and start trying to restrict firearm carrying and the use of firearms and firearm laws. Do not give them that ammunition whatsoever, because I promise you, we're right away from a nanosecond from having these hardcore leftists come in and try to put some type of gun restrictions on us right now in the middle of this. Just a couple more incidents, guys, or a false flag incident, they're going to blame us for it. I promise you. Now we have all this crap going on in the Middle East again. We have stuff going on with Iran, with Turkey, with China. Of course. Because why? We got to start the World War III narrative again. You know, that was back in January. That's burned out. We went to the pandemic narrative. That burned out. Now we went to the riot pandemic. Well, that burned out. Well, they're trying to push the pandemic narrative again, but that hasn't really burned out enough to come back. So now we're going to push the World War III narrative again with China and Iran. That's going to start up right now. And then once that starts to burn out, then we'll go right back into the pandemic in the fall. And then by that point, we'll have the vaccines in place, and they can tell us that it's mandated for everybody. Safety, because, you know, having a SWAT team kick in your door and hold you down and forcefully vaccinate you, that's for your protection, guys. Remember, that's what they're going to tell you. It's for your protection. It's for your protection to go out in public. It's for your protection to be able to go out and travel freely, unmolested, on your way. These vaccines that track you and these apps that basically monitor where you go, well, it's all for your protection, guys. Understand we're being played. Call it out for what it is. Don't fall into this left-right paradigm of going, oh, well, the Democrats did this and the Republicans did this and back and forth. Call it for what it is. It's the globalist bankers that are in office right now that are controlling the purse strings and making sure they get their civil war in this country. But it's going to take a lot to start a civil war in this country, because, quite frankly, there's a whole huge percentage of population that still is not in that now. They're not ready for that. So they're going to have to keep instigating. Obviously, these pockets have popped up, and you're going to have massive looting and shooting in certain areas with cities. But to start a full-blown nationwide civil war, there is going to have to be a massive incident, in my opinion, numerous incidences, to go down that route. So don't be that guy that starts that war, running in the middle of the protest, armed, pushing people around, screaming in their face, trying to instigate a fight, and then when you get bullied out and you start running away and they chase you, you basically shoot them once they pull a skateboard on you. Don't be that guy, guys. What do you think, Deb?
Well, I couldn't have said any better. Guys, by the way, guys, this is a good show today. We're getting to the real hardcore truth as far as what's going on and the narratives behind it today. So I hope you guys are enjoying the show. Of course, nobody else wants to talk about this. But let's take a look real quick. And Austin said this just a second ago about this COVID-19 plandemic. It's a plandemic. You know, think about for a second. All these Americans who value freedom of speech, religion, assembly, and privacy, and their right to work have given up those constitutional rights without even stopping to think through the ramifications of the larger precedent being set. Think through that for a second. They've got the right now to shut us down, arrest us, home arrest us, put us under house arrest, tell you you can't open a business, open a church. And we just sat back and said, okay. And then you have to ask another question. Why did the public health officials persuade lawmakers, like Fauci, right, to almost immediately lock down and home quarantine almost all of our population instead of using traditional disease control measures that quarantine and treat the sick, not the healthy? I spoke to a man this morning. His name is Joe. And he has to fly all over the country. He told me, he says, Ted, I can't deal with this. He says, I flew all weekend. He said, I had to wear a mask everywhere I flew on American Airlines. And he goes, it was awful. He says, I can't breathe those things. The guy's in his 70s. He's got some COPD. He's got some circulation issues. We know that the mask massively reduces O2 levels, oxygen levels in the blood, massively increases CO2, massively increases the acidity of the blood, unbelievably hard on the kidneys and the organs. Wearing a mask is like committing slow suicide. If you keep it on forever, you're just going to die. It's that bad, guys. And so why in the world did we say that was okay? I mean, what happened to allow us to do that? Was it the fear? But now that we're returning to rational thinking, is opening up the public conversation about science and health and liberty that's viral? Yes, it is. We're talking about it right now. Even the big pharma and big tech are working with governments and mainstream media to censor it, including yanking you off Facebook, yanking you off of YouTube, shutting you down, hurting you beyond belief, trolls everywhere hammering you on your social media accounts, saying all kinds of horrible things about you that aren't even true. Many of them on government payrolls. All they're trying to do is to stop the narrative that's being established by the real alternative news. Now remember, most alt news parrots the mainstream news organizations. That's all they do. You know, that's the fact. And a lot of the alt news don't do that. They'll give you 85 to 90% really good coverage on the topic, and then the next 10 or 15% is all propaganda. It's all lies again. So they make you want to believe the truth, which you know they're telling you, but then they make you want to question the lies and perhaps believe that. This is the typical thing they did with Operation Mockingbird. They've been doing it now, gosh, since the 50s. I mean, this is what the CIA does. What did Casey say? We'll know that we've done our job at the CIA when everything everyone believes is a lie. I mean, that's what they're trying to do, is reprogram the United States through beta waves and theta waves and flicker rates and colors and screens and all kinds of other stuff. I mean, let me ask you a question. When you go to the polls on November the 4th, 2020, this year, just think hard. I mean, I want you to really think about the candidates and why you're voting for them and why. If you don't like the response that your governor or your elected representatives did in your state legislatures or your mayors, city commissioners, or your county commissioners, if you don't like what they did and what they said and how they handled this entire situation, and if they wanted to lock you down and take away your rights, kick them the heck out of office. Make this the acid test. You know, run against them in your local elections. Say stuff. Call them out for what they did and say, no, this is not okay. Because if we don't continue to value liberty, we're going to throw it away. I mean, if the state, if the government can tag you, track you, force individuals to be injected with biologicals of known and unknown toxicity, there'll be no limit on which individual freedoms they can take away from you, for the greater good tomorrow. Well, Polk County has a sheriff that's got these folks basically thinking they can do whatever they want to do, and I have to pay attention to all these mandates, which isn't true. But they can say that. We're going to go in now, and we're going to cordon off Polk County. We're going to make it an exclusion zone, and we're basically going to stop all food and transportation going into Polk County. And if we have to, we'll send the military in there and kill everybody because these people are non-redeemable. You think, well, what the heck are you talking about? I'm not saying that's going to happen next week or next month or next year. But how far do you allow it to go? When do you get to say, no, I'm not going to do this? And it starts right now, guys, with your city officials that you elect and with your judges. And I always look at it this way. Unless I know a judge and I've done research on that judge and I know they're a good person and a good judge and I like the way they rule from the bench, every time they say, should so-and-so be kept in office, my response is no for his judges. No. Rotate them. Don't let them get corrupted with the power groups. Don't let them do that. Just basically say, no, we don't want them anymore. And now we're starting to see the damage that Obama did and that the globalists have done. Because it's not Obama, it's not Trump, it's these Sabbateans, these Kabbalists.
by putting all of these incredibly liberal judges. And look what they did this week. They said that you can't get rid of a person who's working for you, whether they're a transgender or homosexual or whatever. It doesn't matter how disruptive they are to your staff. It doesn't matter how disruptive they are to your business. You can't get rid of them. It doesn't matter how poor of a job they do, because now if you get rid of them for being basically incompetent, they're going to say, he fired me, or he fired her, he fired it, because I'm a transgender. I got a rule here. You can't do that to me. Supreme Court rule. You fired me being trans. No, I fired you because you showed up late every day and you were insubordinate and you didn't get your work done. No, you didn't. You fired me because I was a trans. You knew I was all night out last night at the party at that trans club in Orlando. You got to give me some slack. Wait a minute. Where'd that come from? That's the problem. This shouldn't be allowed to tell a person who they can and can't fire. I don't care what the reason is. If you're giving somebody money and they're working for you and they're not representing you properly, or they're not representing the overall goals of what you feel your corporation needs to be represented by, it doesn't make any difference. They can just move on, get another job somewhere else, or they can start their own business working with a bunch of trans who come in late every day 4 or 5 hours because they've been basically in a club all night. They can hire those people themselves. They can go for it. But why are we having to be forced to do that? Why do we? And I'm not saying that if I had a transgender or a gay guy or a girl working for me, if they did a good job, that I'd fire them, because I probably wouldn't. I probably wouldn't. If they did a good job and they showed up on time and they did what they were supposed to do and they didn't bring their values to the workplace. Now, if I had known that, I wouldn't have hired them to start with. But if they do the work, I could care less. But now they're saying they can say you're discriminating against them if you cut them loose. Guys, where's this going to stop? And they're supposed to be the conservative court? No, they're not. That one guy that Trump put in, he's a CFR member. And Roberts is a doggone, everybody believes he's gay. I mean, what the heck? Where's the representation of the people of the United States of America on the Supreme Court? I don't see it. I don't see it at all. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, it's a slow burn. Rome didn't fall in a day, and that's exactly what they have found with the United States, is it's going to be a slow, slow, slow churning for the next couple of years. Unless we can continue to stand up and fight for what's right. Because, see, at the end of the day, listen to me. All of our listeners, listen to me. At the end of the day, the only way this is going to be able to come into fruition is at some point in time, they're either going to stop or we're going to submit. I mean that very clearly, because here's what's going to happen. After a certain point in time, with whether it be the uprising, whether it be the anarchy, whether it be the masks and the coronavirus, at some point in time, somebody is going to concede to the other. Somebody's going to give in. And they're betting that we're going to give in. And sadly enough, I see so many people still walking around wearing masks, going to the store wearing masks. Even when the World Health Organization on June 5th put out a memo stating that masks do not have any scientific literature backing to show they prevent you from contracting the COVID pandemic virus. None. But people still wear the mask because they're conditioned to, and they submit. This is all about submission. The only way they can get this to work is through consent. I've told you guys this before, and I've said, is it possible that they may try to do full-blown forced vaccines? I mean, full-blown, kick your door in at 4 a.m. with a flashbang and hold you down and inject you. Is it possible? Yes. Do I really think it'll go that route? No, I don't think it'll have to go that route, because so many people are going to submit. And so many people will capitulate, and if they put enough sanctions that people listen to and comply with, they'll never have to go that route. Because as soon as a lot of these good little sheeple that run around with masks on, and a lot of them are Christians, and a lot of them go to church, and a lot of them go, oh, you know, well, that's what I was told to do. You know, I'm just listening to authority. Guys, listen. There is no authority when it goes against the Constitution. There's none. If somebody comes at you and says, hey, you've got multiple kids, you've got to kill one of your kids because I don't think you should have more white kids. What? Is that a law? Is that anything legitimate? It doesn't matter if they put that in the law. You don't have to follow that, because now it goes against the Word of God. That's a context that so many people are failing to understand. Your body, it blatantly says in the Bible, your body is the temple. Do you really think your temple needs to get injected with aborted fetal cell tissue? There's an article that Robert Kennedy just interviewed Dr. Deischer. If you guys saw this, Dr. Deischer obtained her PhD in molecular and cellular physiology from Stanford. Has spent over 20 years in commercial biotech. She's an inventor on 23 issued U.S. patents. Robert F. Kennedy basically interviewed her and asked her. He said, most of the COVID vaccines are being developed using human fetal cell tissue to culture the coronavirus. One of the questions he asked her was why the manufacturers of vaccines have switched from exclusively using animal tissue to culture viruses for vaccines to start using aborted fetal tissue. Listen to me real clearly, guys. Dr. Deischer's reply was that the industry was getting pressure from the animal rights movement to stop using animals for experiments. Kennedy was shocked and stated, isn't it kind of weird that the animal rights activists have more clout with the vaccine companies than do the anti-abortion activists? Dr. Deischer replied, listen to this very clearly. They do. And you know what's very alarming, Robert, is that the lack of outcry over human babies that are born alive 5 to 6 months old so that their hearts can be obtained beating. They have to be obtained beating and used in research for that to be done. If the heart stops beating, it is not useful in that research. You cannot use it. So the babies are delivered 4 to 5 months old, in some cases 6 months old, and their hearts are cut out without anesthesia in order to keep them beating so they can process them and use them in the aborted fetal tissue research for the vaccines. I would not even do that to a mouse. Let that sink in, guys. Majority of these COVID vaccines are being used with aborted fetal tissue. And they want you to inject that back into your body. It does not get much more sinister than that. And I've had people argue me left and right. Well, you know, listen, they don't really, it's not that bad. No, it is that bad. And anybody that tells you otherwise is blatantly lying to your face. They have blatantly and clearly stated what they use in this. And what's even creepier is when they've tested some of these vaccines, including like the MMR, they have found human DNA fragments in these vaccines. And that is a fact. And we have it posted on the website. Understand what they're doing to you. Understand what they're trying to put into your body. And be aware of it. If you want to submit to this sick, sadistic procedure, and you want to have it injected back into your body, that's okay. That's your right. If you really want to do that, if you really want to allow this into your body, and you want to have that type of perversion and that type of sadistic nature injected into you, that's your right to do so. But guess what? It's also my right to say no. And it's also my right to say no for my family. And it's also my right to say no and still live freely, unmolested on my way, and not have my entire life restricted and remove my freedoms from me for not submitting to a sadistic vaccine that uses aborted fetal tissue in it. That's also my right. It goes both ways with this. Stand up for your right, guys. Make your voice heard and make it loud and clear, and stand on your convictions and principles that you founded, and don't capitulate to them, Dad.
You know, Austin, that just nauseates me with the whole thing, cutting the parts out of living children like that. It's all part of that satanic worship. Remember the old Mayans and the Incans used to do that? They'd lay them on the altar at their temples, their pyramids down in South and Central America, and they would hold them and strap them down and cut their hearts out while they were still beating. Gosh, what a difference. I mean, what kind of energy field does that create for these demons? And they must love that garbage. God, these guys are cursed. Ugh, Christian leaders have taught us this lie that Christians are to obey unholy edicts issued by unholy men. Think about that for a second. We've been taught that. It's a lie that we're to obey unholy edicts issued by unholy men. If it goes against the Word of God, I don't care what the law is. It's illegal against God's Word and God's law. And He comes first in my life. Guys, I love you. I pray for you today. Continue to pray for us. You guys are absolutely awesome. This is the day the Lord hath made. We are just passing through this place, guys. Enjoy the ride and bring honor and glory to God. Austin, finish it up. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely, guys. Continue to be praying for us. Continue to be just speaking your mind and standing up for the truth. We really appreciate all the support. We'll continue to pray for you. I've got a lot of emails I'm backed up on. I'm trying to get caught up on them. We've been extremely busy down here. That's not an excuse. But I do have a lot of emails I'm trying to get caught up on, so I appreciate the patience with that. And please, if there are emails, sometimes you send me articles, which is awesome. I appreciate you guys sending me articles, updates, news. I don't always respond to them, but I do see them. But I don't always respond to them because I have, 70, 80, 90 other emails I'm trying to get through, and I'll click a link, copy and paste it in a new window, and go look at it when I'm done. But again, thank you for the support. If you guys need anything, be sure to call us, 1-800-726-1834, healthmasters.com. We're continuing to speak the truth, and on top of that, we're continuing to try to maintain, well, not try, we are maintaining the highest quality supplements we can possibly produce. Keep your immune system strong. Keep your diet clean. Keep your head clear, and stand up right now. The Joint Rebuilding Formula is on sale for over 10% off. It's an incredibly good formula. It helps out with soft tissue repair, healthy joint functioning. Really, really good formula on the website right now, on sale as Product of the Week. And be sure to vote for what you want to see win next week on Product of the Week. And continue, guys, please, and I reiterate this again, continue to please stand up for your rights. And I don't mean like Dad said either. I don't mean being a provocateur. I don't mean going out and trying to start fights and push people, and for that, I don't agree with that one bit. But continue to speak your mind. If somebody's saying something to you, or something's occurring, or you see something wrong going on, step in. If you see somebody being injured, if you see a violent felony being committed against somebody, step in if you have the ability and physical means to do so. That's completely legal in pretty much almost every state that I know of. If you see something happening to somebody, you have the legal right to step in and try to intercede to help them out. Because we got a lot of people right now that are doing really bad things, and not everybody can protect themselves. I mean, you got little children, you got some small women. Be aware of it. And I encourage you, if you have the ability to legally do so, stay armed, stay prepared, stay ready. Keep some food buckets in your house and stay prepped for anything. Appreciate you guys. Have a great night. Have a safe night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.